test.
To see each and every one of you on this beautiful, beautiful morning the Lord's given us. And happy Father's Day to all the dads in here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open up our service. As I was saying, this is such a beautiful day. We just want to worship and praise the Lord. But there also are a lot of prayer requests here. Those that have been in accidents here, those in need, waiting on surgeries, results from tests. A lot of prayer requests and a lot of those spoken and unspoken. So if you have a prayer need this morning or prayer request, just show by raising of your hand. You know, God sees each and every one, doesn't He? He knows the depths of our heart. And we're just going to go to Him now in prayer. Dear Lord, we just want to praise You. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day. Lord, we thank You for the freedom and the opportunity You've given us to gather in Your house and in Your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just want to release every burden, every situation, dear Lord, and just place it into Your mighty hands. Lord, we know You know those that are sick and shut in, those that aren't able to be with us, dear Lord. We know that You know our hearts and the needs of each and every prayer request. Lord, we're asking now if You'll just please heal, mend, protect, and provide for those in each and every situation. Lord, again, we praise You and we thank You, Lord. We thank You for all our visitors and our friends that's here this morning. Lord, we thank You for each and every one. We thank You for those watching online. Lord, I know there was Wi-Fi issues this morning, but You're greater than that, that the Word will go forth. And, dear Lord, we know we love You and we praise You. Lord, we ask You to bless our pastor, strengthen him as he goes about Your work, him and his family. And, dear Lord, again, please receive every song sung, every hand raised, every instrument played, Lord, just to worship and praise You. Again, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen, amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise God. I hope everybody has just a wonderful day. We get started here this morning. So turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Go back a little old school. But it never changes. That blood doesn't. Seat if you can. Turn around and give somebody a wave and just let them know Jesus loves them and that you love them too. Praise God, because God, He's all about, God is love. Amen, amen. As we get ready, we're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Praise the Lord. Just got the only announcement I've got up here this morning is for Vacation Bible School. Don't forget, mark your calendar. I know it's getting closer and closer. July is. It's July 10th through 13th. Please make plans to come. Bring your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor's kids. And if you'd like to help, please just let us know. We'd love to have you. And we just love each and every one of you. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering? Yes, Lord. Amen.
sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah. For the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah. For the cross.
I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the
the storm that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Where do you go when you need a friend? Come on, where do you go when you need healing? Where do you know when you need comfort? Amen. I go to the rock. How many knows who the rock is? It ain't Stone Mountain. Amen. It's Jesus Christ, the firm foundation. That's where I go. Sing that again. Come on, just get with it this morning.
The builders rejected. Up to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected.
Glory to God. Woo. Tell you what, for a little bit I'd get happy about that. Amen. Praise God. If that don't start your fire, you would. It may be a little bit wet. Maybe a little bit damp. How many knows that we are a blessed people? Get your minds off your problems. Come on, get your minds off your troubles. And begin to praise the Lord that we are a blessed people. Amen. I love what one old country farmer said. He was looking around and seeing all the wonderful things there are to see in this earth. And he said, all of this and heaven too. Amen. You know, you may have troubles down here, but one of these days they're going to be over. You may have some sickness or affliction that you just can't get relief from, but I got news for you. One of these days, all the sickness, sorrow, pain, and death is going to be behind you. We're going to receive a glorified body in a prepared place where Jesus Christ is, amen, waiting on his church to go home with him. That don't make you happy, folks. I don't know what else to do to make to lift you up. If you're looking forward to that time, give the Lord praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Isaiah. And before you stand, just kind of turn over to Isaiah. We'll get you to stand in just a moment. First of all, we want to recognize all of our fathers that are here today. And just to let you know that we appreciate you. We thank you for the hard work, the dedication, and the ability to provide for your family. And just we could go on and on and on thanking you. But we want you to stand this morning, and we want to recognize you. So let's let all of our fathers stand, and let's just give them a round of applause. Amen. We don't have roses to give you as we do our mothers, but I hope and pray that somewhere today you'll get the recognition that you deserve, and maybe a gift, or maybe some lunch, or maybe just a hug and an appreciation for being dad. Amen. And if you have your dads with you today, certainly let them know how much you love them. And we know that there are fathers that are already passed, and we remember them as well. And we know that they're in a better place, and we will be reunited with them one of these days. Looking forward to that. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55, verses 6 through 9. You may stand, if you can, for the reading of God's holy and precious word. Amen. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we take this time to love you and to thank you and praise you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your amazing grace. Thank you for those who've gathered here this morning. Father, and I pray, God, that you just open up that window of heaven, pour out an anointing and a blessing upon this congregation. Father, we know that if there's some that are sick and afflicted today, we know that you're a healing God, and we pray right now for healing and deliverance for those who may be suffering. Father, we humbly ask this morning, God, that you would anoint this vessel. Use this vessel as you see fit. Anoint these lips of clay. God, speak that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we ask all of these blessings in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. What a great day. Father's Day brings back a lot of memories, a lot of happy times, and a lot of correction, instruction, and an abounding amount of love. Today, as the Lord had guided me this week in a particular way and a path, it may not seem to you exactly like what a Father's Day message might sound like, or what we may have thought or perceived what a Father's Day message would be. But nevertheless, I have to obey what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And I believe times that we're finished, that we may be able to perceive that it does have everything to do with fatherhood, and the instruction and the guidance and the nurture of a devoted father. I saw a lot of posts on Facebook and on Message where fathers were being remembered that have already gone from this walk of life and to receive their reward in heaven. And how precious that was to remember those fathers in heaven on this special day, and certainly not just on Father's Day, but if you have a loved one that is already gone, then they are continually in your remembrance. But as we pay respect and honor to our parents or to our father on this day, I thought of all of those fathers that have passed on already. And I want to encourage us, and you probably already know this, we'll see them again. We'll see them again. If, in fact, we are prepared to be where they are. It's about a generation of devoted and devout men. The testimonies that I read on the different posts talked a little bit about the accomplishments and the love and the nurture of those fathers. But what really stuck out in my mind was the fact that they was a godly father. A father can be the richest, the most well-respected, the most successful that you could ever imagine. But if he's not a godly father, then all else pales in comparison. The things that we pass on to our children, certainly the love, the nurture, the instruction, the guidance, the preparation for life. How many remembers your dad's telling you, son or daughter, money don't grow on trees? Did you ever hear that, or was I the only one that heard it? I am so glad he told me that, because I was wasting so much time looking at trees, hunting money that might grow on trees. But Dad let me know, son, it don't grow on trees. You're going to have to earn it. And we thank God for that. The greatest thing that I can think of today and thank my dad is the fact that he reared me in a Christian home, that he carried me or took me to church, that he instilled into me the Bible and the plan of salvation. And not only did he tell me how to live right, he showed me how to live right. He was an example for me to pattern my life after, even with the marriage and the children and all of those things that comes with being a father. So I thought about all of that, and I thought about it was a wonderful generation of men. And then I thought about this scripture. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I hope and pray that every son and every daughter who had a godly father is in fact following in those footsteps, has in fact made Jesus Christ both Lord and Savior of your life, and made preparation for that next life, which is the best life, which is yet to come, when we are not only united with our family and our fathers and our mothers who have passed on, but even greater than that, we're united with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, then made a way that you and I could be there forever and ever in that glorious place that we call heaven. Now, this scripture here, seek the Lord while he may be found, is a stirring admonishment, amen, to a basically a backslidden nation. I recall when my granddaddy, or one of the preachers of the church, would refer to that scripture as a young boy, it began to strike fear in my heart. Because in my mind, I was thinking, you know what, if I don't do something about this, then I may not have an opportunity later on. Now, we've been taught, and it's true, that God is a loving God, and God is a forgiving God, and that he will abundantly pardon our sin. But the scripture kind of denotes to the fact or the subject matter that there may be a small window of opportunity for us to make things right in our life. Now, we've been taught that God is a merciful God and we can just, you know, live our life and come to him and he will forgive us. That's true. But we also have the scripture that tells us we don't have the promise of tomorrow. That the very breath that we're breathing is on loan for us and could be taken away from us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when that breath is gone, that's how we are going to meet eternity. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, the excuse is I didn't have time is not going to do a man in judgment. When I get around to it, it's not going to fare very well to a loving God who said, I give you every ample opportunity. So I thought about those posts that those dads, and because of their testimony, and because of their life, and because of their devoted devotion to their parent, to their family, and also to God, is we know without a shadow of a doubt where they are. Because they found out that the single most important thing that they could do in their lifetime was give their heart to Jesus, come to an open confession, kneel at an old-fashioned altar, come with a repentant, a broken, contrite spirit, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life to fill them with their spirit so they would be, in fact, not only able to raise their children in a godly home, but go to a place prepared that Jesus Christ has given us that place. And if you're happy and you're thankful for what the Lord has done, then give him praise. And I want to tie this in, if I can, to the situation that Israel was in during the time of the prophet Isaiah's admonishment or writing to a backslidden and a scattered nation. We find that Israel, which was once a great, blessed nation, mighty, struck fear in the enemies because not of the people, but because of the God that they serve. How that God led them out of Egyptian bondage, led them across a wilderness journey, gave them the land flowing with milk and honey that we call the Canaan land, made them to be victorious over greater empires, bigger armies, stronger people. But let me tell you something, you can't fight against God. God will always be victorious. But after a period of time of successful living, of abundant blessings coming from the Father himself, after the other nations knowing that you don't pick on Israel, you don't mess with God's people, something began to transpire. Slowly but surely, the generations quit talking about the Egyptian freedom and the wilderness journey and the great dividing of the Red Sea and the crossing of the River Jordan and the raining of manna down from heaven and the blessings of God and the great Passover that took place. And those stories began to be fewer and farther apart. And generations began to grow up without the admonishment of a loving father and mother that guided them to what God had done. Now, if you're honest with me, I believe we can see a parallel, the nation, the world that you and I are living in today. I'm not saying it happens in every family. I'm not even saying it happens in the greater part of the family. But I believe, if you would agree with me, we see that it is happening in the world today. People are speaking less and less of God, less of God's mercy, less of salvation, born again, salvation, infilling of the Spirit of God, and we've been replaced with that. Just do your own thing, live the way you want to. God is a loving God. He's not going to send anybody to hell. All of that is true, except God doesn't send anybody to hell. We go there as an intruder. We go there as someone who has failed to accept Jesus Christ and the mercy and grace that he provided on the hill of Golgotha that day, and the open invitation for each and every one who has sinned in their life to come and get repentance and get forgiveness from a loving Savior. So the prophet Isaiah, according to the voice of God, God spoke to the people through prophets. And he used Isaiah during this time. We find Israel is a small remnant of what they once were. We find that they are scattered people that really doesn't have a home to call their own. They've been infiltrated. They've been ravaged. They've been pilfered. They've been taken captive. And they're scattered. You see what can happen when we lose focus of what is really important in this world. And I'm going to tell you something. There's something more important than inflation. Inflation's bad. There's something more important than the division that's taking place in the world today. And you would have to also, you would have to be spiritually blind not to recognize the works of the adversary today. You see, we're getting mad at the wrong people. We're focusing our anger in the wrong direction. You don't need to get mad at people. You need to get mad at Satan, because Satan is a working today and causing division, not only in nations, but in families, in relationships. He's just as busy as he possibly can be. And I think he knows that the time is drawing near, when the Lord is going to come and catch us away. So Isaiah is preaching and teaching to a backslidden nation, a small remnant of what they once were. Not nearly as strong, not nearly as vibrant as they once were. Let me tell you what happened over this period of time. It didn't happen overnight. Probably didn't even happen in the first century, but it slowly began to erode. Morals began to decline. Our
dedication and our concentration, our consecration on a God and a godly life begin to slip down the list of priorities, as in the days of Israel and the prophet Isaiah speaking to them. And it began to be sociably acceptable for these paganistic worships to infiltrate the children of God, because it was popular, because it was well received, because it was the thing to do. And instead of worshiping and declaring Jehovah God, monuments began to be erected, statues began to be built, groves began to be planted, and we find the children of Israel, once devoted and dedicated to Jehovah God, are now worshiping gods that are no gods. To be like the rest of the world, to mimic, to look like, to act like the rest of the world. I mean, knows that God's people are a special people. God's people are a separate people. Amen. How many knows that the Bible says, thou shalt not have any gods before me? His strict instruction to the children of Israel, thou shalt not serve any other gods. But yet we find Israel trying to be like the rest of the world. And God speaks to Isaiah. And what has happened during this time, we think that God has turned his back on. No, that's not the case. They turned their back on God. What begins to block blessings is not because God is mad at us, but if you read the Word of God, sin begins to block the blessings of God. The nation was sinning, therefore blocking the blessings, the grace and the mercy that God was so willingly wanting to present to the people, but yet they were backslidden and turning their back on God. But God wanted revival. Sometimes we think it's the church that wants revival, and we should. Sometimes we think it's just the pastor wanting revival, and he should. Sometimes we think it's just the evangelists wanting revival so that maybe they can take up a love offering. And that's all right too. But let me tell you who wants revival more than anyone sitting here in church today. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to revive the church. He wants to revive you. He wants to revive the family members. He wants to shake the modern world. He wants us to turn from our iniquities and from our sinful lives and turn back to Jesus Christ. Amen. With devotion, not just in church service, but every day of our life. So God begins to speak to Isaiah. I know that the crowds are not as big as they used to be. I know that many have lost their way religiously. Many are looking for entertainment rather than salvation. This is not a new thing. Same thing happened in Israel. And we find that there's a small, the Bible refers to as a remnant, small portion of what the church once looked like, a small portion of what the nation of Israel once was. But I want to tell you something about God. God has never had to be in the majority. In fact, sometimes he likes winning battles when the odds are against him. It's that way we can't look and say, look what we did. We have to look and say, look what God did. The walls of Jericho were impenetrable to man, but God just knocked them flat. Amen. God can do in 1 second what a nation could never do in a lifetime. We need to focus on what God wants in our life and not what we want from God. Amen. She said, Isaiah, get this remnant together. And you know, the prophet, he probably thought, well, Lord, ain't too many of us. Sometimes we look around. Sometimes we look around on Wednesday night and say, there's not too many of us. But you know what? God has a remnant. God has a people, always going to have a people that serve Him, love Him, put Him first, even above their own desires. And God spoke to Isaiah. He said, I'm about to send revival. I'm about to send an anointing down on these people. I want to love them. They have turned their back on me, but they found out that they can't get along without me. And I see some mercy. I see some grace coming their way. I see some broken and contrite spirits. They found out that without God, life is miserable. We can attain the whole world, but if we lose our soul, what will it profit us? Isaiah, get the people together. I'm about to send revival on the land, and I don't know if you see a similarity, but I see revival coming, not just in this church, but I see people finally deciding, you know what? Without God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. He addresses the remnant of Israel to once again, listen to this, and this is hope for some of us, to once again turn to God. You see, I believe there's some of us who've once been on fire for God, once really been dedicated, devoted Christians, but other things begin to take precedence in our life. It's not that we woke up one morning and quit loving Jesus. It's just that somehow, some way, He became less important in our daily lives. And that in itself is wrong. Be a good, moral, upstanding, fine person. Still let your priorities get out of whack. As I said, it doesn't happen over. But I believe, if you would agree with me, it has happened in America. And I know you're going to think I'm old-fashioned. I'm going to say it anyway. Because I looked in the mirror this morning, I'm about as old-fashioned as you can get. Because, see, I remember some of those days. I remember when a handshake was a contract. Didn't have to sign anything. I'll pay you. And the man said, okay. Those days, I remember that. And I began to think about the old-fashioned ways, and I began to say, Lord, how did we get away from that? How did we get away from, this is where the old-fashioned part, of saying a prayer before we start our school class every morning? See, that's how old-fashioned I was. We pledged allegiance to the flag and we said a prayer. And most of the time we read a scripture. But let me tell you what happened. Somebody along the way got offended by it. You can wear a T-shirt with any rock group name on it or anything like that, and it don't faze them. But you wear one that says Jesus, come on, you're in trouble with those who be in control. What had happened? We said, you know what? It's offensive, so let's don't have prayer. And you know what? These Ten Commandments, who came up with them? They don't need to be in public places. And the remnant said, I don't want to cause any issues. I can still have the Ten Commandments in my heart. See what I'm doing? I'm backing up. Just sort of let them have their way. You see how easily things happen? And it happened in Israel. And one of these days they woke up and they realized that they had drifted so far from God, amen, that they had erected idols in the church or in the groves, and they were worshiping them. And Isaiah said, wait a minute, you better get your thoughts right. You better get your devotions right. There ain't but one God, Jehovah God. He formed and fashioned the world. He not only formed the world, but He formed and fashioned mankind. Because God's going to send revival. God's going to open up the door of salvation. And all of that's wonderful. But really what struck terror in me when I was a small boy, it said, while he is near, or while he may be found. I'm not going to get real theologic with you. You can read this word of God like I can. But it frightens me to think that there may only be a window of opportunity to get this done. God's a great and merciful God. He's long-suffering. He's gentle. Yes, he's all of that. But you know what else he says? Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. God's thoughts and his ways are higher than ours. God's mercy is great, but it's been taken advantage of. And Isaiah said, you know what? You better seek the Lord while he may be found. You want to see your godly Father in heaven? You better seek the Lord while he may be found. Yes, he'll save you at the 11th hour, but why in the world would you want to wait till the 11th hour? Today is the day of salvation. I heard my granddaddy speak of that 30, 40, 50 years ago. It struck fear in my life. I wanted to get my life ready. I wanted to be sure that I had come to an altar of repentance and I had asked the Lord to fill me and to save me. And when I did that, I had to confess my sins. I had to tell him, Lord, I'm not worthy, but I'm thankful, Lord. Your word says if I come and I have a broken and contrite spirit and I repent of my evil ways, you will abundantly pardon and have mercy on me and save me. How many knows that's still in effect today? But is that window of opportunity getting smaller for those who have rejected God time and time and time again? Honestly believe, as you do, that my dad went home to be with Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Wasn't because his name was on the roll book of this local assembly. Wasn't because he led singing for several years. Wasn't really because he was just a good daddy. And all of that was true. But the reason I believe, and I have hope and faith enough to believe that he's in heaven with Jesus, is the fact he came to an altar of repentance as well. And he asked Jesus to save him and to forgive him and to fill him with that wonderful comforting spirit that Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll send the comforter my name. Some folks can't get comfort because they don't have the comforter. No wonder this world is stressing you out. No wonder that you're on pins and needles and your nerves are about to explode if you don't have the comforter. And the comforter is Jesus Christ, his spirit that dwells within us. It takes up his abode in this mortal body. So the reason that I know that Dad is there is because he asked Jesus as Lord and Savior to come into his life, fill him with his spirit, and I know that I'm going to meet him one of these days. Not because my name is on the roll book. Not because I play a guitar. We were talking the other day, and we said, I believe in me and Brother Keith, we said, I don't know what heaven's going to be, but I hope there's some guitars up there. I know there's some harps. May have to learn to play a harp, but whatever. But not because of that, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm a preacher, not because of anything, except I came to Christ the same way Daddy did, and the same way we have to as well if we want to see Daddy again. And even greater if we want to see Jesus. I want to see Daddy. I want to see Jesus. And the way I read the Bible, I'm going to have plenty of time to see both of them. It's going to be a glorious and wonderful time. Amen. But because I sought him, while he could be found. Wouldn't it be terrible if things got so bad that God just withheld his spirit? Let me tell you, I don't think I could make it 24 hours without the Spirit of God. I've been there, done that, and I tell you what, I do not want to go back. I need him every day, every hour of my life. A very important factor is the very first scripture that I read. Seek ye the Lord. Sounds good, doesn't it? We preach that all the time. While he may be found. You mean there might be a time? Listen, I'm not trying to give you my opinion. I'm just trying to point you what the Word of God says. You decipher it. If you see a lot of time left in that, God bless. If you see an urgency, maybe it's time to do something. Call ye upon him while he is near. I've often said one of the greatest blessings that I ever had in church was the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love praise and worship. How I love praise and worship. And if you love praise and worship, you're going to fit right in heaven. I love the preaching of the Word. I love to hear saints of God testify. But looking back, more than any of those things, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost is what drew me to an altar of repentance. I thought my heart was going to burst out of my chest before the preacher got through preaching. Because I was afraid that my wall or my mirror window of opportunity was shrinking. I wanted to make sure that I got things right while he was near. I'm not saying that you ain't got 10 hours, 12 hours. I don't know. I'll tell you how fast things can transpire. We arrived yesterday down at the barbecue that they was having, and there was ambulances, fire trucks, sheriffs, state patrols everywhere, and helicopters. If you know anything about accidents, those helicopters that are probably not news helicopters, they were life flights. Just minutes before, everything seemed to be all right. Going to and fro, whatever, and then that period, that quick, things happened. I hope and pray. I know there was some serious things. I hope and pray that they were able to survive. But we don't plan those things. But I tell you what, if we've already made preparation, if we've already made provision, if we've already sought him while we could find him and while he was near, it doesn't matter. Even at that particular time, we don't have to run back and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Please forgive me of my sin, because it's already under the blood. I said it's already been taken care of. That's all this preacher's trying to tell you. If you haven't done it, do it now. If you got intentions to do it, no better time than now. If you want to see Jesus, if you want to see those saints of God, make sure. Sure, make absolutely positive that you have sought him, and not only sought him, but invited him into your life. How do I know that that is a type and parallel of today? It's because we're reading in the New Testament, after the dispensation of grace, after Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And many scholars adhere to that particular story as not only an urgent cry to Israel, but it was in fact a type and shadow of the Messiah which is to come, and how we need to seek him in that opportune time. In the book of Acts 3, chapter 3, and verse number 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's not really a suggestion. It's an admonishment. It's direction that we need to repent. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, if That is a so very important word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I want to try to close with some encouragement to some of us who have maybe made that trip down to the altar and has asked Jesus Christ to come into our life and into our soul, fill us with His glorious Spirit. And we've confessed our sins, and we've had that broken and contrite spirit. That just means, Lord, mash me down and make me into whatever You want me to be. Not my way anymore, but Your way. I don't encourage some of us. When the Bible tells us that He will cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness, from everything except that one time, you know, Lord, and I still can't get it out of my mind. All. Every one of them. Even that one that still plagues you today. And you know why it plagues you today? It's because Satan's bringing it up. You ask the Lord about it, and He has no clue what you're talking about. Why does He have no clue? Because He's done cleared that off. Amen. I'm going to try to leave you with this. Thank God for God's delete button. I don't know how many times He's had to hit that for me. Amen. But He won't do it unless you confess and ask Him. You know what? I want to see every one of you in heaven when that time comes. And I know this is kind of a solemn request, but I want our children, if time and God delays His coming, and that day comes for us, I want them to be able to write or to post unequivocally, without any doubt, Dad was a godly father, and I'm going to see him in heaven. I don't know a more important Father's Day message there could be to let us know that where Dad is, that's where I want to go to. Would you stand? As you're getting ready to depart and for the dismissal, we will be having service tonight. Contrary to Trey's thoughts, he thought what we did for mothers we ought to do for fathers too and not have evening service. But tonight I want to encourage you that come on Sunday night. If you would, bring at least one of your favorite photographs or pictures of your dad. Now, this could be your dad still living. This could be your dad is deceased and already gone home. But what I'm hoping to do is Mike can arrange them with Sister Lori's expertise into a type of collage. Is that what you call it? Mural. And maybe see how it works on a phone and maybe post that on the church Facebook in a wonderful tribute, our tribute to all of our loving fathers. So you may have to go home, look through the album and all, and you may already know exactly which photograph you're going to bring. And if time permits, we may allow those that want to tell what is so important about that picture. It doesn't have to be a picture just of your father alone. It could be him holding you. It could be him playing ball with you, going fishing or something back. And if you want to share, and I don't know anything else that would be more sweeter than to have that little tribute to our fathers tonight. So come and be a part of that if you would. Now humbly ask that each and every one of us bow our head, close our eyes, and reverence the Holy Spirit that is in this place today. I know we're remembering dads and we're thankful for their
love. We're thankful for their devotion. And if you have your dad with you still, please let him know. It's all right to tell him you love him. And if you're here today and if you've got any doubt whatsoever about whether you're ready to meet the Lord, then this is your opportunity to do something about that. To seek him while he may be found. To come and give your life to Jesus. No one is looking around, no one is judging you, and it really is no one's business except you and Jesus right now. But if you haven't made things right, I'm going to give you just a little time, because that's how important that I think that it is to make sure, to make absolutely positive, that when you walk out that door today, you are ready to meet Jesus. That only comes from a confession and a repentance and the accepting of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Still, while no one is looking, while every head is bowed, if in fact you would like for this pastor to pray with you, maybe it's nothing to do with salvation, maybe it's something else, if you'll just lift your hand, I promise I won't come get you, I won't acknowledge you, I'll just say that I'm going to be praying for those hands, for those this week, whatever the situation is. You and God know about it, and I'm just going to help you believe for it. Have a glorious and wonderful, happy Father's Day, and may God bless you. My hope is that I'll see each and every one of you in heaven when that day comes. God bless. Brother Jim.
Praise the Lord. Those of you, if anyone else has a prayer need or questions, come on up. Let us pray.
Thank you.
Love each and every one of you. You know what an honor it is to pray for one another. And we're so blessed with a praying church, but most of all, we're so blessed with an almighty God. Amen. Amen. As we get ready to, for those that are doing visits with their dads this afternoon, or those that got crowds here, or maybe going to a cemetery, or maybe just looking at the pictures, as we remember, no matter what the situations were with our fathers, we know the ultimate. That's God, the creator of all. And I want to just thank everybody for this morning and just love each and every one of you. We're going to get ready and with this closing prayer, just take a dismissal and invite each and every one of you back this evening, back to Wednesday night. And just as it's a time now, it's a calling from this wonderful message that God gave us to stir things up and bring back those memories of those times to where God was first in our thoughts and in our prayers. May we return to that. Or if you say everything's okay, then great. Let's just pray for someone else. Pray for me if you have a desire. I know Brother Eddie says that a lot. So there are those that are in nursing homes, assisted livings, those that aren't able to be with us. So let's continue to pray. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us, dear Lord, to feast at your holy table. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask you that you'll just protect us and guide us, bring us back at our appointed time. And dear Lord, for these families that's represented here, I pray for each and every one. Dear Lord, continue to bless us. Dear Lord, continue to guide us. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in the most precious name of all, the name of Jesus Christ. We all say amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Praise God. Praise God.